then come down. Spirit, break out. Come on, sing it with us. Break our walls down, yes. Holy Spirit, break out. Heaven, come down.
Give him some praise. Good morning, everyone. If you came in this morning and you haven't received one of these, please raise your hand and we'll get somebody to give you one. This is our worship guide. If you are new with us, we'd love for you to fill the bottom portion out, but there are a lot of really cool things going on. Check out our events. We've got some camps. We've got a ladies' luncheon to get to know other ladies at church. There's just a lot going on, so we encourage you to get involved, get plugged in. We've got Harvesters the first Friday of every month here, which gives out free food to people who need it, and we need volunteers. We would love to see you there. So as we continue to worship, Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit, that it's here, that it's alive in us. Help us to be receptive to you and what you have for us.
Did you feel the mountains tremble? Did you hear the oceans roar? When the people rose to sing of Jesus Christ, the risen one.
It's okay to clap your hands, folks.
when the lost began to sing of Jesus Christ the saving one. And we can see the God moving, a mighty river through the nation, and young and old will turn to Jesus. A mighty river through the nations, and young and old will turn to Jesus.
When you speak, and when you move, and when you do.
it changes what we see and what we seek. When you come in the room, when you do what only you can do, it changes us, it changes what we see and what we see. You're changing it.
Pray. Spirit of the living God, I love this song. Holy Spirit of the living God, we want to hear your voice, and we're hanging on every word. We want to be known more by you, Lord. Spirit of the living God, we're leaning into all your are everything that you're doing. Spirit, Holy Spirit, when you move all of our fears. When you move us to tears. When you move, all of our fears are gone. The enemy no longer has a hold on us. When you fall, we fall on our knees. And when you fall, we fall at your feet. And when you fall, we fall on our knees. God, I pray that we would be there this morning. Whatever there is in our hearts, Lord, whatever room I've got you locked up in, I open that door to you, Lord. Feel free to roam through the whole temple.
I just got the sense there's somebody here, It's got a tremendous burden on them. And they're fighting to keep their head above water. And if that's you, Jesus is here. The Spirit of the Lord is here. And don't miss this opportunity. Come on down here with Pastor Art. And let's pray. Let's get that burden lifted. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you're yoked up, bound up, today's the day. Today's the day to be set free. Come on down.
Holy Spirit, convict us of hidden things that only we know about and you know about. I turn it over to you now, Lord. Cleanse this heart. And Lord, we lift up those who we know who suffer physically, who need a touch of your Holy Spirit and to be healed. To make it through this trial, through this tribulation that they are now undergoing. Holy Spirit, give them the ability to press into you, to lean into you, that their faith would grow and through this become closer to you. God, I lift up those who we know don't know you. We call them out by name. Holy Spirit, bring someone to them that can speak words of life. Holy Spirit, come now, Lord. Let your kingdom come in all that we do today, Lord. All the opportunities you bring our way, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. That the enemy, he has no authority any longer in your children. We call upon the name of the Lord and we are saved. Father, get glory for your name. Hallelujah. Praise to you, Jesus. King of kings, Lord of lords, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
We have two services that are here each morning, and they're different. The prayers are different. And so, we're going to do something perhaps a little different. Even as I preach and teach, if God's pulling on your heart to be prayed for in any way, which is the normal, you're not unnormal, you're normal and needing God. If that's something where you're at, we've got Tracy will be up here. He'll pray with you immediately, and others will just pray with you. Even as I speak, if you sense God nudging on your heart, even during that prayer, just respond and just be present and open to God. They'd love to pray with you. Some of you may be coming in with heavy burdens today, and he spoke into that. And again, this is a service for this time. So their prayer was different last service. So he's just listening to God and praying. So if that's where you're at, no, it's for us or for you, this group. Today, if you came in, you noticed probably there's some new things going on. God's been doing a lot of great things here at Westview. And if you're new with us, you may not see that as irregular, but out front here, our children's area is moving along really quick, right? And we're pretty excited about that. There's been some movement and building happening here, and actually this entrance, the east entrance, is going to be closed for multiple weeks because they're starting to move into the next phase where that opening will extend out the east side. And so we've got these doors that you can run out if something's in trouble, but as far as coming in, we're encouraging everyone to come in on this other side. And that's actually just evidence of what God's doing. One thing that God's doing visually, we're building and preparing more room for God to bring more and more children to us. And families. We have actually, this is kids' service this week too, so it's a family service, but we have our kids in here too. So I've got you in mind, okay? So if you're under fifth grade, I've got you in mind. We're going to do some hand actions, okay, and some things like that to keep you connected through the time I'm teaching, okay? So today we're going to be looking at it's been our superheroes of faith. And today I'm going to be focusing on Moses. And then a little later, George is going to jump up and talk a little bit. And she's going to invite you forward in a little while to talk about a couple other characters in the Bible. So in a few minutes after I'm done, we'll invite the kids to come forward and George is going to teach them too, okay? So you get two. Awesome, right? And then at the end, we're going to do some family dedications or baby dedications or child dedications with parents that are desiring to offer their kids to God in a way and asking their need for his help and strength to love them well and to teach them about who God is. And so that's what's going on today. I'd like to begin by looking, though, at Moses' life. Now, Moses was a superhero of faith, and we've been exploring this for different people in the Bible. People that lived like lives, like you and I. Sometimes we have these people in the Bible, and we think that their lives are so different. And what I love is that the Bible chooses the strengths and weaknesses of people. It actually shows both the beautiful spots and the warts in their lives, and which gives me hope, because God loves to meet us where we're at and keep changing us. And we've been seeing that as we've been looking at these heroes of faith. Heroes because they trusted God. Super because it was in God's power that they began to change the world around them. But it wasn't their superior. It wasn't their superness. It was God's superness in them that changed the world. And that's why we've been choosing some of these different people. Last week we spoke about Job, who endured suffering. And weeks before, we've been talking about different characters through the Bible that we see them trusting God as heroes of the faith, people that we can look at, superheroes. Heroes because they trusted God, and super because they changed the world through the power of God. And so if we're going to look at this today, Moses was a guy that, for the most part, really didn't get rolling until he was about 80 years old, okay? We know in the Bible that it says that he lived about over 3,000 years ago. He died at 120 years old, and he's one of the greatest things about Moses was that, like I said, his life began to accelerate at 80, around 80, maybe 78, but 80. That's when it accelerated, okay? So if you're here today and you are under 120 and over 80, I'm actually probably preaching to you, okay? If you're like, is he talking to me? Yes, he is. Turn the hearing aid up, but yes, I am. I'm talking to you, okay? I'm talking to you. But this is why. Sometimes we disregard those years. But those are the years that God often has been shaping you for so long to prepare you to be a container large enough, empty enough perhaps, to be used by God in profound ways. And we're going to look at Moses today and see his life. But his life was actually in probably three movements. His life, early life, really isn't very. There's not very much written about it. If we look and if you have Bibles, you can open those up to Exodus. We're going to be in primarily Exodus today, and in chapter 2 and 3, we're going to be looking at. And see, most of the stuff begins with Moses in his life. With this, that it's only a few chapters where he's his early life, and then his midlife with his wife and children are recorded. That earlier in the chapter, we hear that God is desiring to deliver these people. And what happens is Moses was born. And his family had an immense amount of faith because in that culture, in that situation, that context, they were slaves. And actually, the king had said, get rid of all boys. And so even the people, these handmaidens, were amazing in their faith that they actually challenged the king and said, no, we're going to try to keep them alive. And so this baby boy was alive in this hostile context, and then they made a basket and then made it like pitch, so they made it waterproof, and they put Moses in hopes that, trusting God, that somehow he could be saved through this, and through a boat that sounds like Noah, an ark, was put on this river, and while she put this, his older sister Miriam put Moses as a little baby on the Nile River, the princess, one of the princesses is going by, and she sees a cute little baby, and she loves that baby right away, right? Okay, how many of you are baby people? Okay. I wish, it's funny, it's frustrating because I look like a creeper, because I am. I see a baby, Jenny has to stop me sometimes, seriously. I'm like, oh, they're so cute. I know, and she's like, there's no self-awareness at all. Like, I forget that they don't know me, I look like a weird guy, and they're like, whoa, who's this guy? And I'm like, no. I just do. I get I get distracted so easy at cute kids. I mean, if I'm in church like right now and all these babies are here, I'm not hearing anything. I'm staying up here if I'm sitting in your seat and there's a cute kid in front of me. I'm not. I'm laughing, looking for them and stuff. I can't help it. It draws something out of me when I'm looking at cute kids. That must have happened with her because she saw this baby and she wanted to raise this child. The cool thing is Miriam was close enough to see that, and she ran up to the princess and said, "Oh, can do you need somebody to take care of it? Because she's not prepared, let's say that, to be able to nurse this baby." So anyways, it's at the moment. She goes, "I'll find somebody." She takes her to her mom. Miriam takes her to her mom. Her mom gets to raise this baby because in faith they chose to go against what their culture was saying, and the baby lived, and then Moses moved to the palace. Now, being in the palace, he would have learned how to read and write. He would have learned how to speak multiple languages, which was a gift at that time. Most of those slaves would not have known how to do those things. But Moses, because of God's providence, brought him in this place to be able to use these gifts that he got as a young child for later in life. But he's in the palace, and he's there, and we see a situation that in these stories that as Moses begins to be introduced to us, there's this thing inside of him that we keep seeing. He wants to take on the bully. There's this thread inside of him, even though it's raw, about challenging injustice. He can't help it. Some of you have that in you. When you start seeing someone that is in need, being challenged by a bully, frame it however you want to, a bully, there's something in you that begins to get angry and wants to stand up to that. It's wrong. This is not God's heart. God desires it differently than this. And they are right. You are right. Moses was right in saying something needed to change. This is not right. But what we see is, in all these stories, where he takes on the bully, he starts doing it in different ways. And we're going to investigate that. I remember when I was in elementary school, I think I was in third grade, I was walking home, and we would walk home each day, and for about 2-week period, there's these sixth graders, these big sixth graders, that thought it was funny to kind of corner us, and they would usually pick one of us off and beat us up a little bit. Not where it was horrible, but just, I remember still to this day, I was afraid, and I was angry at the same time. You been there? You know what to do. I don't know. I think somehow they got found out about it, and I know they got in trouble kind of, and we were freed up, but I just tasted that in a little small way. These people lived underneath it. Some of you have lived in injustice constantly, and it's just like a daily diet that you have to keep going to God for help, even as people are treating you wrongly for whatever it might be. Could be your socioeconomic background, could be your color, could be even your nationality, whatever it could be. And some of you deal with that daily. As a white male, I've actually had to go alongside with my friends of color to say, help me see, because sometimes I just don't see. And they've helped me see these things in the world. Moses was about changing injustice. He was, but he went about it the wrong way. Let's look at what happened. So Moses often stood up to bullies, but he did it by himself. He did it as this knee-jerk reaction. His desire was for justice for the bullies, not to push them over, but he did it in this knee-jerk reaction, kind of, I'm going to do it and take it in my own hands way. Let's see what happens here. In Exodus chapter 2, verse 11, it says, one day Moses had grown up, when he had grown up, he went out to his people and looked on their burdens, and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his people. He looked this way and that, seeing no one, he struck down the Egyptian and hit him in the sand. His instinct to say, this isn't right, I need to step in, I want to do something, I'm not going to sit in the sidelines, was right. But in the way in which he did it in his own strength. He's like, I'm going to take justice in my own hands. And he did it in that moment, and it's like, uh-oh. I just made something that was bad even worse. Have you ever, I've mentioned this before, my wife sometimes will say, ooh, I have a project in mind. And I'll go, oh, okay. And sometimes she'll wait for me to start, and sometimes she'll just start, knowing that I'll come in. And oftentimes, but I'm not that good at fixing things, right? So there's been times when we've thought we're going to go fix something, right? And we start fixing something, and it costs the person that comes and fixes it after me more because they have to undo the things I did and then fix the actual problem, right? You see what I'm saying? When we, with injustice, say, I'm going to do this, actually sometimes we make a bigger problem than what was even started out with. And that's what happened with Moses here. And this is why. This is what he said. I can do it. I can do it. Thumb out. I need all the kids to help me, okay? Can you do this with me? Kids, ready? We're going to say it loud. I can do it. I don't think I... Did I give you the cue? I don't know if I give you the cue, okay? So the cue is when my thumb starts moving, okay? Here we go. Ready? Okay, ready? Thumbs out? I'm looking. Anybody? Okay. Now, if you're a little older and you're a kid at heart, let's do this too, okay? Okay. Maybe you should do it to show your kids how to do it, okay? Your grandkids. Okay, here we go. Thumbs out, everybody. Let's just... Am I doing pretty good today? Oh, thanks. Okay. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. Thumbs up. Okay. Thumbs up. I'm just playing. Thumbs up. Okay. Thumbs up. And we're going to go. I can do it. Okay. Let's one more time because we need a little more strength. Okay. Here. Thumbs out. Ready? I can do it. Okay. That's how Moses was standing. He's standing there. I can do it. That's what he's saying. He's got it in his mind. He starts to try to deal with it. But then the next scripture shows us something that happens. Next scripture says, in 13, he went out the next day, and behold, two Hebrews were struggling together, and he said to the man in the wrong, why do you strike your companion or your brother? He answered, who made you prince and judge over us? Do you mean to kill me as you killed that Egyptian? Uh-oh, found out. Moses then was afraid, and he thought, surely this thing is known. And yeah, it was. He shifts from this self-confident, like, I'm going to fix this, and maybe working through his life in that way, to all of a sudden, vacillating to another end. He swings to another place. He was trying to do things in his own strength, and perhaps you've been there before, trying to take things on themselves, and then when he does this, it backfires on him. And he begins to run, the text says. Let's continue on to verse, I think, 13 and 15. Yeah. When Moses heard of it, he sought to kill Moses. This is Pharaoh. This is the king. But Moses fled from Pharaoh, Egypt, and stayed in the land of Midian, a long ways away, and he sat down by a well. He realizes he's found out, and then he runs. He's scared. He runs from his home, his childhood home. He knows no one. He's going to a desert he's never been to before. And actually, let's bring the map up. Let's see how far this is, if you can imagine this, okay? This is a lot of that's present-day Saudi Arabia right there. But he runs across that, basically. So Lower Egypt is at the very top corner. He runs across this Sinai Peninsula all the way over to the down corner where it says Midian. It's circled. He runs all the way over there. So he's out of the distance from the main Egyptian influence. Egypt owned and really went more north up through there, and kind of they forgot about Midian a little bit. He's out of the main area. If you're ever a Star Wars fan, it's like hiding out in one of those distant moons, you know what I mean? Or star, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, he's out there away from all the crowds and stuff. He's hiding low. And so he's there, and as he's there, he runs into seven lovely ladies that are, again, being oppressed. They were bringing the sheep in again. He stands up. This time he doesn't kill anybody. But he's there. But there's a movement that's happened. Since we saw Moses kill this Egyptian and stand in for justice, he says, I cannot do it. But he moves to this other place, this swinging place, as he runs away. He's nervous and he runs away. He runs this place and he's like, I can't do it. I cannot do it. I need your help here, children. Anybody, just cross your arms. You good? No thumbs up this time. Okay. I cannot do it. Can you do this with me, please? I cannot do it. One more time. I cannot do it. There was a swing that happened. He was relying on his own ability to fix something, to change something, and that happened. I can do it. He put it in his own strength. Then he swings and vacillates to this other end, hiding out, being away in this desert of Midian. And as he's here, he's isolated. He's away. He's away from people. He's not. There's no other record of his life except that he married and he had two children. And something that struck out to me is if you look at the life of Moses, Moses probably had this encounter, whoops, I killed the Egyptian, I can do it, probably in his 20s, maybe 30s, maybe 40, maybe. But then, at least for probably 40 years, maybe longer, he's running away in a wilderness with not his identity anymore. He's married, but I can't do this. He's realized the responsibility and the consequences that have happened because of his actions, and he is now probably thinking, I can't do anything to change the world. I'm hiding out. I'm just going to go away. And he's away as a shepherd wandering this peninsula for 40 years, before he ever goes back to Egypt to wander that same peninsula for 40 years. Perhaps you are in a wilderness right now. Perhaps you're in a place that you've not been before. Know that Moses had to be in that desert first by himself with God before he was ever going to lead anybody in that desert with God. And so as he's there, he's feeling overwhelmed. He's feeling just forgotten in many ways. And so this is his midlife, if you would call it crisis. There he is. And so he cannot do it. He knows he can't do it. And I want to highlight that even in this story, that even as this is going on in Moses' life, there's a scripture that comes in Exodus chapter 2, beginning in verse 23 through 25. It says this: "During these many days, the king of Egypt died, and the people of Israel groaned because of their slavery and cried out for help. Their cry for rescue from slavery came up to God, and God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham and Isaac and with Jacob. God saw the people of Israel, and God knew." Now, remembering the covenant is just basically an idiom of saying that actually now we're seeing this promise that God's always got in mind. We see it actually tangibly taking place. God's always remembered him. But the word I want to focus on is knew. That word for know is a deep knowing. And sometimes it's translated probably in some of your Bibles as he had deep concern for. Even through all of this, Moses' life and even these people, God had deep concern. He knew. Some of you wish your partner or your best friend or someone else understood you. You wish they knew what you're going through. But we know, if you've been with any close relationship, that you can't know. You can know, but you can't know to the depths. No one can know what I'm going through at the deepest places except God can. God can. God does. God heard their groaning, and he acted. Moses' response was in God's time. Let's see where Moses moved from the "I can do it" swinging to "I cannot do it." Let's see what happens when he encounters God in this new way. God saw what was going on, and he knew his people, what they're going through. And do you know that whatever you might be going through today, wherever you may have been, where you're headed, maybe in your youthful arrogance where he was, or maybe in a depressing midlife wandering where you find yourself today, that God knows, God is present, and God is knowing you. He's concerned about you and the things around you, and desires for you to be a person who would know that, know him, and express grace in your world. God sees you and desires to know you today, know you right now, and that you are known and loved right where you are. You need to hear that every day. And we hear that Moses encounters God in this way. This is chapter 3, and I like to read this. This is what happens when Moses encounters God, probably around the age of 80. Now, Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, or Mount Sinai, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to Moses in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. Moses looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, "I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burning or burned." When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses." And Moses said, "Here I am." He said, "Here I am." This is when the change happened for Moses. This is when it happened. Moses is a forgotten shepherd wandering around for 40 years until he meets God. He really, really meets God. And when God calls his name, he responds. He responds in the same way many people throughout the Bible respond when God speaks, when God knows and he speaks to them. And still, many followers of Jesus respond today to God in a similar way. He says, "Moses, Moses," and in the deepest place, in that critical moment, in that moment some of you might be in right now, he says, here I am. Here I am means that I am yours, God. I'm right here, and I'm ready to hear. Let me say that again. Here I am. It means that I am yours, God. I am right here, and I'm ready to hear. It's a posture of readiness for God. Here I am. And maybe it took him 78 or 80 years to get to that place, but when he got to that place with God, God was ready to do more than we could ever imagine, more than Moses could ever write down what God would do for him. He just said, God, do it. And justice happened in ways he could never, ever understand fully unless he was in the way of God and in relationship with God and listening to God to work that out in his way and his time. It moves us. If you look at this and you hear actually verse chapter 3, verse 7 and 8, the next scripture I'd like to look at, it speaks of this a little later of Moses. God says, and again shows his heart in this. He says, I have surely seen the affliction of my peoples who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land to good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Kids, that sounds sticky, doesn't it? Milk and honey? What's that all about, right? That's a Bible way of saying it's got tons of stuff there. It's the land that's flowing with lots of things. It's the place of blessing God desires to put them into, bring them into, out of deliverance, out of these bondages, bring them into this place of deliverance, and us, you and me. He really desires that. He desires that for us. And us also to partner with him to do that for others. God wants to do something redemptively, restorative justice that comes about. And not only that, but to challenge every system that does not acknowledge who God is and bring about grace. Moses is ready now. At 80 years old, he's now ready and can confidently no longer have to say, I can do it, and no longer say, I can't do it. But he says together, we can do it. We can do it. He's ready at this point to be open and vulnerable and saying, God, take me wherever. You've cleaned everything out of me. There's nothing left in this container, only big enough for you now. And when that happens, look out. God wants to do things that we could never, ever, ever imagine possible. And he wants to do it in you and me. He desires that even today. We can do it. Can we do that together? Come put our hands up because we can do it. Let's do it together. We can do it, okay? And the emphasis is on God and us. Moses' superpower was humility. Humility is correctly understanding who we are in light of who God is and our relationship with God. Because Jesus' life, death, and resurrection and ascension and the Holy Spirit sent by God the Father and Jesus, we too can live this amazing, holy, dangerous, humble life. I think God wants all of us, and he wants to use us that way. C.S. Lewis, a famous writer, once spoke of humility this way. He said, humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking about yourself less. Humility is truly what moved, which was pride in I can do it, and there's pride in I cannot do it. But whereas pride is gone, it says, I see you who you are, God, rightly. Now I know who you are, and I can actually, I know who I am now. Loved by you and ready to stand sturdy. I can do this not because I'm putting all the emphasis on myself, whether I'm overconfident or self-confident or self-conscious, but in this place of a stable, steady place with knowing who God is and knowing who we are, stable, working from this place that's humble and truthful. When we come to that proper understanding in light of who God is and who what God's will is, it will give us this sturdy place to be able to live from. Moses' life after the after he was near 80 years old is full of amazing stories of God's love, amazing stories of the things that he would do. Honestly, if people were going to look at the life of Moses, this is not where they usually would do highlights. It's all afterward. It's all the stuff that happened. But the burning bush where he meets God and what God was doing in those 80 years before prepared him for all the stories ahead. All the stories ahead where he marches into Egypt and says, let my people go. And they say no. And he's like, okay, God, You told me to do this. And God meets them, and he delivers them. He brings them out. He brings his staff and says, throws it down, and says, hey, look, it's a snake. First time he does that, he's scared to death of the snake. I'm scared of snakes too. But anyways, and he goes, pick it up. And he's like, okay, God, I trust you. All the And he grabs the end. Bam, it's a staff again. He uses that staff for so many different things. When he goes and parts the water, he puts a staff out. It's not the staff, it's God. But he puts a staff out and parts these waters when he's got the worst, baddest, meanest army in all of ancient Near Eastern, ancient Near Eastern history comes at him, and they're ready just to clobber him. They don't have any weapons, they don't have anything, and they say, God, I need you. And in that moment, God, in the same act, opens a sea of dry land for them to walk through, and that same act of salvation became his own act of protection against this army that would have wiped them out. Moses wouldn't have come up with that, but God did. And that's how justice and even the goodness of God keeps working itself out in these acts. As he wanders in this desert, he's been before, bringing water, bringing food, and with this staff, doing different types of things that God is doing in him. These stories came out of a person that was completely open and humble to God. And my prayer for us today, our kids, and even us, is that we would take a step closer into this openness of God. What is God maybe inviting you into to be open, more open to him? Humility, if humility is this opening for God, maybe a prayer today is just, God, I want a greater capacity for you. Open, clean this house out. I want more of you, more room for you. Make me humble, sturdy, strong, living in the truth of who you are and who I am. Not full of shame, not full of self-doubt, but sturdy, not arrogant, not self-confident, but God-confident. I'd like to pray for us, and then I would like to invite Georgia up to help with our next section, okay? Let's pray. God, I pray that you would grace us with more of who you are. I pray you would clean us and shape us, that we would trust who you are. That the songs we sing to you and the things we say back to you, God, of prayer, comes out of a place of deep trust in you. Make us humble, like Moses was, God, and I pray you would use us for your good kingdom purposes, Lord. We pray these things through Jesus. Amen.
Come on up, kids. Kids at heart, whoever, come on up. All right, Frankie, Lila, Rory, Hannah, woohoo. Have a seat right here, okay? Good morning, kids. Guess what time it is? Pop quiz! Aren't you excited? You like pop quizzes? Frankie does. He's in kindergarten. Well, sorry, you're going into first grade. Okay. Here's my first question. Who was the superhero of faith that we talked about in today's service?
Moses.
Okay, your whole group's got one right. Here's my second one. I don't know if he brought this in or not, but what was Moses' superpower weapon? What did he use, Hannah? The staff, correct. What kind of things did he do with the staff? Is there a microphone? Okay. What kinds of things did he do with the staff? Did he throw it up like a baton? What did he do, Layla?
He parted the
Red Sea. Yes, he parted the Red Sea, right? And people walked right through it and didn't get wet because it was parted. What else did he do with the staff? Do you remember anything else?
He turned it into a snake.
He did. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? One more?
He turned one of the oceans into blood.
Yes. Awesome, you guys know. It's pretty powerful, right? Well, I believe I'm a superhero too, and I have a super weapon. Ta-da! Here's my superpower weapon. Yeah, isn't it cool? Don't you like red? They're laughing at me. You guys don't seem too excited about this. But it is. I'll show you. You know why? This super cup. Frankie is going to hold you up all by itself.
Okay, do it.
Well, you know what? I know I can do it. Okay. And I'll show you all, okay? All right, so stand up. will let everybody see this amazing feat. Right here, here's my super cup. Go ahead, stand on my super cup. Watch everybody. Oh no, my super cup is dead. I can't do it. I can't do it. Okay, wait a minute. I need a time of silence. Would you guys please, please bow your heads with me right now? This is just too much. Wait a minute. I have more super cups.
I know.
So what if we put them all together? What if we do it together? Do you think we could? All right, let's try that. All right, John, you want to pass out super cups? Super cups here on the plenty here. All right, grab. All right, let's line them up together in a group, okay? One at a time, let's put them together. All right, and group them up in rows.
It's
not going to work. It's not going to work?
Stack them.
Well, I hope we can do it. Oh, no, we don't need to stack them. And let's make them go this way so everybody can see this wonderfully amazing feat. You guys just don't think my super cups are pretty cool, do you? Okay, here we go. I'm going to put this up here. Johnny, stand up, and the rest of you sit down so everybody can see. Frankie, you're Johnny. Johnny, I don't want you to get up there. All right, there it is. Come over here in the middle. Let's see if it'll hold you. What do you think, you guys? Okay, Johnny, or Frankie. I think I should... All right, Frankie. No. Oh, you jumped on it. But look, when he didn't jump on it. Okay, Frankie, just stand there, please. Thank you, Frankie. You're worrying me, Frankie. I'm getting gray hair right now. So look, no, just look. What do you think? This is impressive. Okay, give your friends a bump up here. Woo, I'm done. Okay. All right, you guys, we'll leave the cups here now, and we'll talk a little bit, okay? So can we leave the cups alone, boys? Johnny, I'll let you put them up. How about that? They're just, see, everybody likes my super cups. You can't leave them alone.
No, I don't.
Oh, you don't.
I'm the first one.
Okay, now, you guys did a good job. Way to go, team. And you know what? Teamwork is what Moses used to free the Israelites. Did you think about that? See, Moses trusted that God would provide him the help he needed. And most often that help came from his own family. Now think about this. Pharaoh never wanted Moses to celebrate his first birthday, right? But thankfully, Sister Miriam wanted him. I mean, thankfully, because of Sister Miriam, he celebrated many, 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 many birthdays. What did Sister Miriam do when Moses was a baby to keep him safe? What did he do?
She put him in the basket,
yeah. What else happened?
Then she took him to the castle.
She what?
She took him to the castle.
Oh, well, actually, she put him in a basket, and Moses floated down the river. And who found him? Who found him? Yes.
The princess.
Yeah, Pharaoh's daughter. Great. Hi, Charlie. Okay, so see, and then Pharaoh's daughter wanted to take care of Moses. But for a while, Moses' mother took care of him until he was weaned, right? And then he grew up and had many, many birthdays. So Sister Miriam and Brother Aaron were there for Moses many, many years later, too, when Moses let the Hebrews slaves out of Egypt. Isn't that pretty cool? I'm thankful that God bless Moses with wonderful family support so he could take care of such a challenging mission. And you know what? You guys are all superheroes with a mission for God. Yes, God gave you superpowers, okay? So, oh yes, he did. Yes. And you know what he also did? He provided you with a family who has their own superpowers to help you. And if you look back behind you right now, these people... You want to look? Go ahead, look. They won't bite. They're your church family. And they're willing to help you with whatever they can do whatever God calls you to do, we want to be there and give you the support you need, okay? So I have a little reminder for you guys that God has given you superpowers. Here's one right here. And when you get it, when you go home, I want you to display it in your room, okay? So that you will remember and see, yes, God has given me superpowers for a mission. And what is this guy wearing on his chest?
A cross.
And a cross symbolizes Jesus. Jesus is with us. And when we follow Jesus, he gives us the Holy Spirit as a guide to direct us. And look at the back of his cape. You see that? Who would like to read that? Is that one? All right, Hannah, you volunteered.
I can do all things through him who gives me strength, Philippians 4:13.
Right. Me can do all things through him, he. Me plus he equals us, or we. Rhymes better. We. So God gives us the strength that, and he gives us the strength, those that we have the power to do what God calls us to do, all right? So let's follow his lead. Who would like to pray for us to all be superheroes of faith today? Would anybody volunteer? Anybody be brave enough?
I am.
Okay, say, dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you for making us superheroes.
That was loud.
Thank you for making us superheroes, and thank you that you give us the strength and the power we need to fulfill your good purposes.
Help us to obey and listen and follow your lead, because we can do it. Amen. Mm-hmm. So as you leave, you each get to pick one superhero, okay? And then you can go back to your seat, all right? And we all go. So parents, I have a little thing to say to you. Now, get up here. Moses' parents were the ones that put the plan in action in place to save his life. They believed he would someday be a hero of faith. And Hebrews chapter 11 honors heroes, which includes Moses and his parents. Hebrews 11:23 says, by faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king. Moses' parents knew that God had a calling on their newborn and acted accordingly. Their willingness to make sacrifices and take risks showed their obedience to God.
Take a picture of her.
So what about us? What does that have to do with us? Well, our heroes in training need us. What are you doing to help the children around you to identify and develop their superpowers? Are we willing to make the sacrifices and take the risks to help them obey God's calling on their lives? Is having our kids on mission for Jesus more important than making them happy? We're going to have a child dedication shortly, and the child dedication is a time where parents and church family come together to commit to raising a child to know, love, and follow Jesus. That is the priority that they have. So this is the perfect time to do it. Families who want to participate in our child dedication, please come forward.
I dedicate myself to train.
So I told you earlier I'm a baby guy, so I think something happened up there, but I'm like, hi, hi. This is like, oh, you're out there, I guess. But anyways, okay. But we're doing this, our child dedication, and the church does this out of desire to emphasize building and growing up within families, but also within large communities as well. We do this celebrating a very special event, and we call this child or parent dedication at this time. Our children are the next generation of our building blocks for the church. I think they are the church now and the church that's emerging into the future as well. And they'll shape the future and they'll carry the mission and the vision of Christ's church. And so we want to begin by lavishing them with the love and even from an early age that they would know that God loves them. This dedication ceremony is a public statement by their parents, and they desire to raise their children in the Christian faith. The church, which is of all of you, also responds in this ceremony of your desire and commitment to come alongside these parents to encourage them and assist them in the raising of their children in the ways of the Lord. You've probably heard Proverbs 22:6 says, start a child in the way they should go, and when they were old, they will not turn from it. This is an emphasis and reminder that even in these early ages, what we teach and how we love them, how you love these children in nursery and even in youth groups and children's ministries all the way through, helps shape who they are and who they knew God is. The strongest desire we have, we all have, is that one day these children will grow and mature in their faith and make their own personal and public profession of faith, and a follower of Jesus and be baptized and sealed with this commitment. The dedication is biblical because we see with the greatest example of Joseph and Mary doing this with Jesus when they went to the temple at the eighth day to dedicate Jesus. And Jesus also welcomed the children openly, which is reflected in the Gospel of Mark. He says this, Jesus love children, and he responded this way. One day parents brought their children to Jesus so he could touch them and bless them, but the disciples scolded the parents for bothering him. When Jesus saw what was happening, Jesus was angry with his disciples, and he said to them, let the children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. I tell you the truth, anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it. Then he took the children in his arms, and he placed his hands on their heads and he blessed them. So what I'd like to do is, I would like to each family get to share who they are and their children that they're dedicating today. And then what we'll do is, after they've done that, then I'll go through a time of a promise that they'll both do. I always feel like I'm marrying someone every time, or myself, like I do. We're going to be saying a lot of I do's here pretty soon, and doing that. And then at the very end, we'll have a place for the congregation, okay? So, Tristan and Haley, do you guys want to just say who you are and the little babies you have?
Just Tristan, and I'm Haley. This is Gabriel, and that's Charlie.
Little Gabriel and Charlie. Charlie.
It's okay.
This is the best thing about kids. I love that, right? Because our kids are just beautiful. She's already prayed earlier today already. So, Charlie, can you come over here? It's okay.
She's shy now.
That was no worries. It's okay. I wish we all could do that, actually, sometimes. It's super hot out. I know. Okay. And Evans, can you share a little about yourself?
I'm Balon. This is Brandon. We have Isaac and Sarah.
Isaac and Sarah. Okay. It's so good to see you guys. And this is what I'd like to do, okay? Today, what I'd like to do is I'd like you to say, and if you will, just say I do after I ask these questions to both of you, okay? Do you promise to pray for and with your children and teach them God's word to see that they grow in their knowledge of God and their relationship with him?
I do.
Do you promise to take your own relationship with God seriously so that you may be a spiritual example for your child?
I do.
Do you promise to do all you can so that in God's timing, your child will begin a relationship with God through faith in Jesus and will follow that faith with repentance and baptism? Great. What I'd like to do is I'll begin here with Haley and Tristan, okay? One of the scriptures that you chose was, I believe, Proverbs 31:25, yes. And if it says, she is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. That's a beautiful verse. And I'd like to pray. And then also the second verse you have for Gabriel is, sons are a heritage from the Lord. They are a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are the sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the person or man who has filled his quiver. That's great. Those are great scriptures. Those are beautiful ones, and you have beautiful children. And we're very proud of you both. And so can I pray for both, because kind of bless both of you, okay? So Charlie, can I have a high five? Yes, that's the girl I know. And then also Gabriel, let's pray. On behalf of your parents in this congregation, we want you to grow, to be strong, a young woman, young man and young woman on the day of Christ, and that would bring all of us greater joy. Charlie and Gabriel, we promise that you are, we are committed to your faith journey. We dedicate you now to the Lord and to the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, who will guide you all the days of your life. Amen. I'd like to come to the Evans family, okay? And I would like to ask the same thing of you, okay? The scriptures that you've chosen for Sarah is, again, Proverbs 31:25. I love the scripture. It's a beautiful one. And it says, she's clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. I love that. That's a great prayer. And Isaac, too. Isaac, I don't know if there's a scripture for you or not that you like, but is there a special one that you kind of like, or is there one I can choose for you? I think there's one in Joshua that says, be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God is with you. I like that one because I see your muscles. Is that cool? Is that a good one? Because you kind of got muscles, okay? So this is strong, okay? Okay, good. Okay, we'll choose that one for you, okay, Isaac? I like that one. Your name means laughter. That's pretty cool. And so I'd like to pray for you, Sarah and Isaac, as a blessing, okay, over your family, okay? On behalf of your parents and this congregation, we want you to know that God has great plans for you. Sarah and Isaac, all his plans for you are good, with a bright future and hope. We promise that we are committed to help you and help you grow in your spiritual journey. And we dedicate you now to the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, who will guide you all the days of your life. Amen. And church, this is the last step. I have you, as you are here and witnesses, I would like now to ask you to please, if you're able to stand for these vows. It takes all of us, not just the parents, but those who love and surround the parents with encouragement and hope with these children to point them in the way they should go. We do this corporately. So let's say this and respond with, we do, if you are able and you would like to do this. Do you promise to pray for these parents as they raise their children to trust and follow Christ? Do you promise to take your own relationship with God seriously so that you can be a spiritual example to these children? And do you promise to do all you can to help and support this family in their effort to build a godly home? I'd like to pray over us, and then we'll be inviting the ushers forward for tithes and offerings as they can begin to come forward as I pray. Father, I pray that you would send us from here, God, and that these children would know and these parents would know that you love them and that there's a community here that loves them, and that through the years of being here, God, that you would meet them in these places and help them form their faith and trust you. We pray all these things through Jesus. Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. If the ushers would come forward now for tithes and offerings, and offering is as they pass the plates for that to respond to with finances or any other thing that you'd like to put in there as far as a response to the grace of God.
Letting go of every single dream, I lay each one down at your feet. Every moment of my wandering never changes what you see. I've tried to win this war, I confess. My hands are weary, I need your rest. Mighty warrior, king of the fight, no matter what I face, I'm by your side. When you don't move the mountains, I'm needing you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could walk through. When you don't give the answers, as I cry out to you, I will trust.
Scripture says that Moses was the most humble man that ever lived. Numbers 12:3. He's an example of this, and I pray that for us, as we leave this space, we too would move in that place, wherever we find ourselves, maybe even in the places of the middle place of darkness or not knowing what God's up to. He's shaping us for good future glory and for to use you for what might be ahead. Okay. I'd like to pray over us as we go. And there is still the invitation. We'll have people sticking around. If you would like to respond in some way to pray, you just need somebody to pray with in some way. We'll have people here afterwards. This is our last Sunday of the month, too, and so there's a meet and greet over here. If you're new with us and you just want to get touch with a couple, touch base with a couple pastors, we're over here. But we invite you to come forward and be able to pray. Tracy's here and others. We'll just be able to pray with you, okay, if that's something that's a good response. I'll pray over us as we go. Let's stand as we leave. Father, we declare those words, the things we sing to you, are from a place of desire, that we would trust you and trust you even more. When things don't make sense, God, I pray that we would trust you, trusting that you are and that we can do it together as we go in your speed and your way. I pray, God, that you would remind us of this as we go and leave this space. And I pray now that you would mark us and send us in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, to be an alive people full of your grace. And I pray that wherever you send us this week, that we would rightly represent who you are in what we do and what we say. And may you gather us back together to speak of the ways that you've been parting waters and delivering peoples in our lives, ourselves, and others around us to tell the stories of what you've done in our lives. We pray all these things in the powerful name of Jesus through the power of the Spirit. Amen. Thanks for coming.